few things, a few inyoni halacha on Purim. Collected from the Sefer Shari Be'al Purim, Rabbi Sai. From by Tezner, we do use the Sefer Benevir. I want to just run through very quickly a couple of ideas, the sidais which caught my attention. Number one, interesting halacha, when we give Mishalach Manos, I caught this idea caught my attention. This is not la halacha, but it's something just be aware of. The Birkei Yosef says that when you give Mishalach Manos, you have to give Mishalach Manos l'fi the kovoid of the person. In other words, if you go and you bring Mishalach Manos, I give you a peanut and an M&M. Wow, two meaning. Lo yatsa. Lo yatsa. Because the inyan of Mishloch Manos is to give marbe reyos l'chiba. It has to be l'fi kvoidai. If a person is a dignified person, it's not l'fi kvoidai to give him popcorn. Let's go to a chasher person. You're going to give some of these bag of popcorn, a little thing of popcorn, and a taffy. Is that l'fi kvoidai? So halacha lemaisa is mafap. Halacha lemaisa, can you say you're not yoitze the mitzvah? But it's definitely not in the spirit of the halacha to give a person, a dignified person, the mishloach manos. That is silly. Okay, unfortunately, Rabbi Yisai, can you please have some decorum? Unfortunately, we live in a generation where it becomes a joke almost. Everything is a theme. The Mishloach Manos turns into a theme, and the Mishloach Manos have to capture the theme, and it's silly. It's silly. That's not what Mishloach Manos was meant to be. Mishloach Manos was meant to be something dignified. It's a dignified way of being marbe shalom and achvus v'reyos amongst people.
People like it.
What? Silly people like silly things. Silly people. Unfortunately,
$10 million.
All right.
Interestingly,
we have to come back and do the mitzvah the way make Mishloach Manos great again. Okay, that's really what it's come down to. Over the years, and I was a child, I remember clearly, my father was a rough. And I remember it was choshev. I remember the Balabatim would bring Mishloach Manos. Choshev. And my parents would give in return choshev of Mishloach Manos. And over the years, now, like the things people give, like they give you these little—it's like a joke. The whole Indian of Mishloach Manos is, why is it like that? Number one, first of all, people have to give 50 Mishloach Manos, so you can't afford to give everyone a $10 Mishloach Manos, so you give everyone a 35-cent Mishloach Manos. You know, it's so you don't have to give 30, you don't have to give 50, you can give 5, 10. You know, you don't have to give so many Mishloach Manos. Something has turned sour. At least my impression over the years, the way what? Okay, so it's a different generation. You can't, you know, it's
a business and a fundraiser.
It's a different generation. I'm just recalling from memory. As a child, I remember Mishloach Manos to be something very different. I remember it to be a much more dignified mitzvah. Today, it became a different type of mitzvah. Okay, I'm just pointing this out with the Birkei Yosef. It is what it is. Okay, next. When is the Zman Mitzvah? Now, this is very interesting. Try not to hold me back. I have a lot of things I want to mention to you. When I always wondered about this. Everyone knows. You give Mishloach Manos. This is a very chiddush to me. A new thing to me. Everything is new to me. But this certainly is new to me. That you have to give Mishloach Manos Zman. You can't go give Mishloach Manos early. You give Mishloach Manos before Purim on Tainus Esther. You lo yatz. That's pasha. You don't give. Some people have no choice. You know, they I'm not yoitz of the mitzvah. I know I'm not yoitz of the mitzvah, but I can't just see myself without giving you Mishloach Manos. I'm going on a plane. I'm going away for Yom Tov. So here's the Mishloach Manos. Am I yoitz? I'm not yoitz, but I have to give it to you today, Erev Shabbos. Just take it. You should know that I thought about you. Fine, in a chanami. But to be yoitz of the mitzvah, lahalacha, it has to be given on Purim day, not Purim night. Purim night is not a zman to be yoitz of the mitzvah. Now here's a shaila. I never knew this. What happens if you give Peres Mishloach Manos mitzoy Purim, like Shushan Purim, the night? So I always thought, also lo yatsa. Okay, lo yatsa, you give it, because you don't want to be embarrassed. Like, it happens all the time. Like, you know, you go, I didn't have enough time. I was running around the whole day, got caught up. I didn't have a chance to go give this. I forgot. How could I not go give this person, my neighbor across the street, Mishloach Manos? I'm so embarrassed. So you run over in the middle of the Suda to bring in Mishloach Manos. What do you say to yourself? I'm not Yoytze the mitzvah. I was ready with Yoytze today, but I just can't see myself. I don't want to insult him. I'll give it him anyway. I'm not Yoytze Gzunte. Just have Mishloach Manos. So he says that's not true. He says that if you gave already one Mishloach Manos during the day, listen to this, there's a condition. If you gave during the day one Mishloach Manos, then you can be Yoytze the mitzvah of giving a second Mishloach Manos, or Mimarba, at night. It's no different, listen to this chiddush, than the Sudas Purim. Just like the Sudas Purim, it starts by day and extends into the night. And according to some opinions, lichatchil, that's how it's meant to be. And you can say Al Hanisim when you go and you eat, you start this before the Shkia. And you go into the, you can say Al Hanisim, that's how it's supposed to be. Mishloach Manos is an extension of Sudas Purim. So if you begin your mitzvah of Mishloach, you don't have to give one. So you only have Yoytzei ready. So the question is, like, when you're giving a second Mishloach Manos, is that an extension of the first mitzvah? So it's just trick or treat, right? It's nonsense. You're giving in the middle of Chanukah, I'm giving Mishloach Manos. No, since Mishloach Manos is an extension of the Seuda, and the Seuda Lechatchil can begin by day and go into the night, if you already began giving Mishloach Manos by day, and you don't have enough time to finish giving all of your Mishloach Manos until the sun sets, keep on going. You can give the whole night, and it's no different than giving during the day. It's a very, very big chiddush, and he cites this. Rav Tezner cites this.
But only at night.
What?
Only at night.
The following night. Only the following night. Only, I guess, only the following night. Okay. Let's go to the.
No, but not on the day of Shushan Purim.
Not by day. Can you be yoytze giving mishloach manos to your enemy? Chas v'shalom. You have a person that you're not on speaking terms with. You give Mishloach Manos. Mishloach Ish Lirei Ehu. Does he have some? Maybe when you give him Mishloach Manos, you'll soften him up and now he'll become your friend. But the Shas Nesina, Lam Shavar, he was not yet your friend. He's not in your eyes, Lirei Ehu. Tough Shaila. It's not so simple. You Yoytze the Mitzvah. It's a good thing to do, obviously. It's an opportunity to make peace with people that you're not comfortable with. Halavai, Adarabba, V'Adarabba. But as far from a technical point of view, from the halachic perspective, are you Yoytze the Mitzvah of giving it to a person that you're not on speaking terms with? It's a machloikis apaisim. This is called the Kim HaMitzvah. Okay, next Shaila. Next Shaila is a Shuliach. Okay, do you give it directly or do you give it al yidei sholiach? So this, I mentioned something last year, is the Mishnah Brura. He quotes the sefer called Binyan Tzion, and he says that he has a dilemma. Mishloach manos. The word mishloach manos means to an agent. So there's a dilemma. The Mishnah Brura has an unresolved dilemma in the name of the Binyan Tzion, that maybe it would be better to be Mekayim the Mitzvah only through an agent. You should not give the gift directly. It should be through an agent. A shliach. Because the Pasuk says, U'mishloach. And the Mishnah Berurah does not conclude, does not come out with an answer. He says, Liva lechatchila, it should be given through an agent. On the other hand, many people question, it's just the opposite. If the whole purpose of giving Mishloach Manos is to be marvech reus, friendship, it's much better to do it directly. So, you can do either way. I just want to point out this observation that many people have made, that the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes this dilemma from the name of the Binyan Tzion, and he does not conclude what it should be. But if you actually open up a Binyan Tzion and study the Tshuva, the Binyan Tzion himself concludes, is Machriya, that no, that L'chatchila you should give the Mishloach Manos directly, yourself. I mean, I always go in yeshiva, we always do is shtek. You know, you come to the Rebbe, so you don't give the Rebbe Mishloach Manos, or you be my shliach. So you be the shliach to give them, because we live in the Mishnah Berurah generation. The Mishnah Berurah is damachuya. So therefore, lechatchila, you should give the Mishloach Manos to an agent. And the Mishnah Berurah is quoting this dilemma from the name of the Binyan Tzion. But the Binyan Tzion himself, when you study the Binyan Tzion, concludes that you should not do that. And when you give the Mishloach Manos, you should give the Mishloach Manos directly, face to face, person to person.
Your children do that, is that a shliach?
Yes, your children do that's a shliach. That they're, yes, they are your agents. It's fine, perfectly fine. Yeah. Yes.
One to one. But if you give two, does it have the same thing? It's not necessary. You're supposed to give shlachmonos ish l'reyu.
Yes.
One to your reyu, to your friend.
Friend, yes, yes.
But that doesn't mean that you have to give to so many
friends. Right, you don't. No. You only give one. You to fulfill the mitzvah, you only have to give to one person.
So what if you give others?
It's not a tosefes. It's an enhancement to the mitzvah. You're being marab in the mitzvah. They don't have to do it. It's a Chanukah candle. You only have to light one Chanukah candle. So why do we light every night? Why do we light? It's a tosefes. There's an enhancement to the mitzvah to give to more people.
I have a shot. What if you send shalach manos and by mistake it comes out to be something not kosher? Are you yotzeh?
Uchari not. Uchari, you're not yotzeh. They even discuss a better shiloh. Let's say the I hold of the kashrus. Let's say it's not chol of Yisrael. I'm not making a chol of Yisrael. I eat chol of stam, but he only eats chol of Yisrael. Right? Godiva. Is Godiva Chol of Yisrael? It's not Chol of Yisrael.
No.
Godiva, chocolates. So it's not Chol of Yisrael. I don't eat Chol of Yisrael. I mean, it's fine. So I go give a big Rosh Shiva. I give him Godiva chocolates. I'm like, Yoytzei? L'chor or not. If he's not going to eat this,
he's not going to eat it.
You can't say you're not Yoytzei.
No, he's not going to eat it. Why are you going to eat it?
Exactly. You shouldn't give it to him. Exactly.
To get rid of it.
You can't say you're not yoytzei. You can't say it's very logical. These things are very logical. The purpose is to enhance the person's simcha. If you're giving him something, you could have a chocolate. What do you know? I'm not going to eat Haagen Dazs. What? What?
Carmel wine. Why would OU
without
being drank in Williamsburg? They won't drink it.
Ain't no chanami. I've got to discuss that. Certain hechsherim.
Shevitz.
Hechsherim, which Shevitz. Other people do not accept, whether because of religious beliefs or politics. So what are you accomplishing? What are you accomplishing over here? Okay, next, let's talk about this su'uda. Okay, the su'uda has to be by bread. L'chatchila, it's not sufficient to eat a su'uda that is not bread. It must be a bread. When should the su'uda be eaten? L'chatchila, some say in the morning. First thing in the morning you should have the su'uda. But being that it's not practical, we delay it until later in the afternoon.
Except in Friday.
Friday, then they do early. Right, Friday. Because of mincha, because of the Shabbos. Okay, there's a hakpada that people say that you should learn. La Yehuda ma'isa oira zutoira, that before you have simcha, oira. Before you have simcha, you should have a little Torah. You should not forget to learn on Purim at least a little bit. There's an need to light candles. Okay, not everyone knows this. Just like you light candles, Shabbos night, so you're supposed to light the leichter. You take the leichter out, you're supposed to light the candles. Okay, there's a minhag to eat kreplach. What's kreplach? Meat is inside of the dough. Why? Because it's the nature of the holiday is a nes nistar. It's a nes nistar. It's a hidden miracle. When do we three times a year kreplach? Hashanah Rabbah, when you clap. Hashanah Rabbah on Erev Yom Kippur and Purim. The 3 days when you clap. You clap Haman, you clap Hashanis, and you get Malkus. Yeah. Malkus, Erev Yom Kippur. Al-Khayt, you clap, that's when you kreplach. Why? Because it's a Yom Tov, it's a hidden, it is a hidden Yom Tov. Today, he writes here that people are not makbid. Not everyone is makbid even kreplach. What has replaced kreplach to some degree? Haman Tashin.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay, please, Dunkin' Donuts, so the cream inside the donut, the Haman Tashin, because inside the dough is the filling. So that's also the same exact idea as something that is hidden. What was the original Haman Tashin? Seeds. A zecher for Doniel. Doniel is a very prominent figure in Purim. Doniel, he ate seeds when he was in by Nebuchadnezzar because of kashrus problems. Therefore, he ate seeds. So therefore, it's really a tribute to Doniel. Why is it called Haman? How did he get here? Haman. So really it's Haman, it's really Yiddish word Haman, which is poppy seeds. Poppy seeds. No?
Montashin.
Montashin. How Haman got into this, no one knows. Somehow Haman stuck his head into this. We don't know how he got into the Haman Tashin.
Same way Nerf got into this.
Nerf got into the table?
Noach
me oivehem. Okay, so really it's montashin. Okay, fine. Next. Now, this is a very important halacha. You have to say al hanisim in birchas hamazon. If you forget to say Al Hanis and Birchas Hamazon, it's a machlekes apaisin. If you have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon, it's a very serious matter. It's not like Rosh Chodesh. It's like Shalosh Shudas, because according to many paiskim, it's Yimei Mishte V'Simcha. There is a obligation to have a seuda on Purim. And that requires us to say Al Hanisim in the Birchas Hamazon. And if you do not say the Al Hanisim, according to many poskim, Lo Yatzah, you have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. Halacha Lemaisa, we don't. Halacha Lemaisa, Safi, we don't do it, even though we don't repeat, however. But the poskim advise what you really should do is wash again right away, either a Moitzi, and then bench. In other words, put yourself in a situation where you have an obligation to bench again, and the second time, don't forget to say the Al Hanisim. If you're not going to wash again, then you do not repeat the Birchas Hamazon, but you should know you've done something very complex in Halacha, and again, the ideal thing would be is to eat a second meal, a second washing, and then bench a second time with the Al Hanisim. Now, this only truth is very important, only if this is the first time you've washed today. If I had to get up and then we come back from shul, and you're having a lavish suit in the late afternoon, but in the meal I'm hungry, so I want to have breakfast, and I wash for breakfast, and I recite Al Hanisim, you're done. That's it. Now, if by the Su'udah you forgot to say Al Hanisim, there is no obligation to repeat the Al Han, the Birchas Hamazon, not to wash again, because you only have an obligation to say Al Hanisim Birchas Hamazon once on Purim, not more than once. Okay, next.
At night,
the Megillah is Machlokes HaPoskim, if you have an obligation to have a Su'udah. Some say yes, some say not. People not makbid have a suud at night.
They're hungry,
so then you, of course you say Al Hanisim, but you do not have to say Al Hanisim. If you forget to say Al Hanisim at night, you do not repeat.
During the day, saying yes, you should, but
you may miss it because you may. I think it's the day. There's an obligation by Purim day. Purim day to have a meal.
Why you wouldn't repeat if you forgot it initially?
Is because, but why should you not repeat it?
L'chatchila?
Shabbos you do. But Shabbos you have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. On Yom Tov you have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. But not in Rosh Chodesh, because in Rosh Chodesh you have no obligation. Right. You have no obligation. And Shalosh Shudas you don't have to, because you have also no obligation on Shalosh Shudas. But when it comes to Purim, it's somewhere in between. You have an obligation to have a Su'uda, but is the Su'uda with such a degree where you have bread, you must have bread? It's a question, how far we go. Halacha l'maisa, you don't, but it's a problem, therefore l'chatchil, you should wash again. You should wash again. Okay, next. Let's move ahead. Let's say you say by mistake, let's go further. Okay. What about drinking? This is an important halacha. Drinking. A person, a chayav adam, levasim b'puraya. So we know the Chazal Ad Lo Yada Bein Or Rehoban Baruch Mordechai. All the poskim tell us, watch out. Not today. Today we follow the Ramah, and this is very interesting. The Ramah says, "What you should drink? You should drink a little bit more. Yoiser milimudai v'yoshen.
Take a nap.
Now here's what the point he makes. He points in the Mikra Yikar, very important halacha. People make a mistake and they think, I don't have to drink at all. All I have to do is take a nap.
Yeah, that's nice.
Very simple. You go to Daf Yomi. You don't. You go to Daf Yomi and you fall asleep, take a nap, you're done. So he points out, Lo Yatzah, you have not fulfilled because the sleep must come from Yayin.
What about grape juice?
No, grape juice, you're not Yatzah with grape juice. You have to drink an intoxicating beverage. So what it says over here is you do not have to get drunk. But what you do have to do, I'm not saying you have to do this, you have to ask your doctor and you have to ask your wife, but ideally, what you should do, ideally what you should do is you have to drink wine, an intoxicating beverage, a small amount, which will cause you to nap. If a person does not drink any intoxicating beverage whatsoever and takes a nap on Purim, he has not fulfilled Ad Lo Yada. Oh, but I was in a matziv of Ad Lo Yada? So what? It has to be in a matziv of Ad Lo Yada that was induced to Yayin. It doesn't mean you have to go drink a gallon of wine. It just means a small amount of wine which brings you, that's something which people do not realize. They make that's a very common mistake in the halacha. Now, a person is slightly drunk, a shasui, and he can stand lifnei hamelech. If you had to stand before the President of the United States, and you had a little bit too much to drink. Can you control yourself? So if you can control yourself, then lichatchila, you're still not allowed to daven. It's very interesting, Allah. If you drink, you're not allowed to daven before daven. If you're intoxicated, but b'di'evet, if you did daven, you don't have to daven again. If you drank enough where you feel the alcohol has gotten to you, and you've davened the Shemona Esrei, you've done an avera, but yotza. However, if you have drunk to the point where you cannot control yourself lifnei hamelech, if you would have an appointment with an important person, okay, you would not want to be like this. You go to a doctor. Right? I have to be. You know, I got to be at my best. Serious business. I got to know what questions to ask. I have to pay attention. You go to a person, you get an order from the IRS. You know, you're not going to play games over here. If you are not in a frame of mind where you can concentrate before a person that's important, then guess what? If you daven Shemona Esrei lo yotza, you have not fulfilled the obligation. You have to daven Shemona Esrei again. And guess what? This person cannot be part of your minyan. So it's very common. You go to a minyan for Mincha on Purim, and there's barely a minyan b'tzimtzum. You have 10, 15 people, and you look around who you got there. And some of them are really not in a frame of mind. Some of them are fakers. Some of them,
what are you doing?
Many of them, don't worry. They're guns fine. They can
act drunk.
They just make believe. Everyone, we live in a world of make believe today. But sometimes you have people that really, they're really, you know, unfortunately, they're alcoholics. There are people that are like that. We know that. And if you make an assessment, you can make an assessment that these people are not people that can be oymel lifnei hamelech in a dignified way. They cannot be part of your minyan. You're wasting your time. It's not a kosher minyan. The third madrega is shikrusa shaloit, which means you're really gone. Shikrusa shaloit is potter from davening. You're entirely enough. That person is lacking knowledge. Costumes.
Where did you see that lot that we got shikrusa?
His daughters, his two daughters.
No, it's just a light bill drinking. That's why he was.
Yeah. Lot's two daughters. They gave him to drink, and they were nichshol with him. Yeah. Okay, next issue is costumes. So here's what's very interesting. Costumes. This is a very interesting thing, which I don't know how to deal with this. Is that today we live in a generation where we have Purim, pre Purim. There's a heter in Shulchan Aruch for a man to wear a garment of a woman. As long as it's noticeable that he's a man, he's just for fun, he's wearing a garment that a woman, or vice versa, a woman is wearing a garment that belongs to a man. So the restriction of Lesilbash, Gever, Simas, Isha, v'chulu is lifted on Purim because it's done mitoch simcha. So Chazal are very lenient, Shulchan Aruch, very lenient. You can man can wear women's clothing, a woman man's clothing, as long as it's still noticeable that the person is a man or a woman, where they really are, and there is no violation. Now here's the chiddush, the Paiskim. People make a mistake and think that this exemption, this leniency, applies to a pre-Purim celebration. So let's say you have, like in schools, they have this very in schools, and they make these, a week before Purim. In the play to get into the spirit of things, and everyone comes in a costume, so then it's not so simple. It's a very big halachic problem for men to wear garments of women and women garments, even though it's still noticeable who's who, because there's an isidaraisa lesilbash. The restriction was only lifted bo bayom on Purim itself. There's no such halacha that this restriction was lifted the whole year round, even by a pre-Purim festival. That's an interesting idea. Okay, next. Let's go to another idea. Are you allowed to go to work on Purim? Okay, we're going to have two more ideas. Are you allowed to go to work on Purim? The answer is no. Purim, even though technically, if you have no choice, you're jeopardy, then you can go. But if you have a choice, if it's free will, you are calling, you're making the schedule, then it's not a day to go do malacha. It says Shulchan Aruch, the malacha that's done, then the person will not see a simin bracha. If you have no choice, then you can bring a doctor, pikuach nefesh, things like that, then to talk about it, of course you can go. But in a situation where a person has options and he chooses l'chadchil to do so, he's doing the wrong thing. Work should not be done on Purim. Okay, next thing, taking a haircut. Are you allowed to get a haircut on Purim? Absolutely yes. There's no restriction of getting a haircut on Purim. You can go to the barber on Purim. Okay, Brismila is a very fascinating, we don't have time for, it's a very, very fascinating topic. Brismila, we mentioned Aruch HaShulchan a little bit over here. He has a few pages of a really, really, very, very fascinating thing. Basically, there is a major unresolved machlokes ha-poskim when the bris milah should take place on Purim. You go to some place, they're going to do the bris milah before they lay in the Megillah. And they go to other shuls, they're going to do the bris milah after davening is over. It's machlokes the Ramah and the Gra. And there's no Hechra, and the Mishnah Berurah, everyone is different. The advantage of doing it before is, because it says, La Yehudim, a person is not called a Yehudi until he has the bris milah. So why deny the baby of being part of the Megillah? If you're going to do the bris milah after, after the laying of the Megillah, the baby was not part of La Yehudim Hayis Arev Simcha Masasim Yikar, because the baby wasn't a Yehudi until he had his bris milah. So Chabarayin, first of the bris milah, the baby is now a Yehudi because he has the bris milah. What? For the parents, you want to bring the baby into the picture. Also, it says in the Megillah, Oira Simcha Vesasim Vikar, Oira Zutar. First, no, what do we lane first? Think about it. On the Sholosh Rugalim, what do we do first? The Megillah or the Kriya Satira? Shira Shirim, Rus, Koheles. First Megillah, and then Kriya Satira. So shouldn't we do the same thing? So you'll tell me it's only a minug, ain't a chanami, but Seif called Seif. Why should we be consistent? So why on Purim do we first lane? And then do we do the Megillah? You can tell me Tadir, Vashem Tadir, you can say the same thing for the Megillahs. The Megillahs on the Shoshan Golem. So one of the answers given is because it's a Farish Pasuk. La Yehudim Haisa Oira, Oira Zu Torah. Sasain Zu Mila. Simcha Zu Yom Tov. The Yom Tov, the reading of the Megillah is the fulfillment of the Yom Tov of the Purim. But before in the Pasuk it says, Oira Zu Torah. So the Seder HaKriya is, first comes Torah, and only later is there going to be Simcha, is there's going to be, or that is Megillah in the middle, but later is there going to be Yom Tov, which is going to be is the reading of the Megillah. So if you're going to follow that logic, the same reason why we have that logic, why we lane first, before we do the Megillah, and we don't follow the normal Seder, first the Megillah and then the Torah, the same thing should be true for Mila. Mila should come before we link. Because Lahud Ma'is Oira, Oira Zu Torah, Kriya Sa Torah. Sasain Zu Mila. First we do the Mila. And then, Oira Simcha, Ha'is Oira, Simcha, I'm sorry, first is Simcha, Simcha is Yom Tif, Simcha v'sasim. Okay, I'm making a mistake. I'm getting confused.
What is Vikar? It's
tefillin.
So put on tefillin after Kriyas
HaTorah. There's a hakpada. You should know there is a hakpada to wear tefillin when you lay in the Megillah. The tefillin should not be taken off, even for the Baal Kriya. You see this very often, and it's not right. It's a problem. Something you know you can't do anything is the Baal Kriya takes off their tefillin. I'm going to sweat. I have to lane, I got to stand here, I got a big crowd, it's a big avoda, I don't want to wear my tefillin, just like a moyel. The moyel, a lot of them take off their tefillin because, you know, I got to be good with my hands. I don't want any distractions, I don't want to feel any pressure, I got to be good with my hands, and I do the bris milah, so I take off their tefillin. Also not so pasha, because mila and tefillin are oisais. It would be ideal for the moyel to wear a tefillin. No one's going to chep at the moyel because you don't want to start up with the baby. But when it comes to reading the Megillah, you're not dealing with a surgical procedure. You're dealing over here with reading the Megillah. So you can say it's going to affect my performance, maybe, but if it's not going to affect your performance, it's just a matter of convenience, it's not the right thing, you should wear tefillin when you are laying the Megillah, because it's possible of the car. Okay, let's do one more thing with this Purim on Sunday. Purim this year is on Sunday, so we have over here Mitzvah Shabbos. First of all, the Tanya says there is on Thursday. If a person cannot fast on Thursday, he has to fast on Friday. Okay, there's no, the person has to go to a doctor, and the doctor wants you to eat them that, whatever it is, that day. So Friday is the next day to fast. It's part of the Seder. The Tzibur does not fast on Friday, but a Yochid can fast on Friday instead of Thursday if he can't fast on Thursday. Okay, the next thing is Mitzoy Shabbos. When do you make Havdalah? Havdalah is to be made after davening is over. Havdalah is made after davening, not when you today we all daven Ma'ariv late. Everyone goes home for mincha. Shabbos is over. Today the style is, in 95% of the shuls, there's going to be a big break from the time Shabbos is over until the zman of laning of the Megillah. So when you come to shul, let's say, or whatever it is, they're first going to begin Ma'arif. So you're going to be at home. So you'll be very tempted. I'm at home now, and we're going to say Baruch HaMavdil Bein Kodesh L'Chol. You're going to say those words. You're going to put on whatever clothing you want to put on. And you're going to get your Megillah and get your Gragger and get your costume, whatever you're going to do. You're going to get in the car and go to shul, and you're first going to be into Daven Ma'ariv. So once already I'm doing all of these malachos, I should already say Havdalah. Let's already chaparain and make Havdalah ala kois with a ner v'chulu v'chulu. Is that the right thing to do? L'chayra not. L'chayra not. L'chayra the zman Havdalah is after you Daven Ma'ariv. You're first supposed to daven Ma'ariv and to recite Atachon Antanu and then Megillah, and then when you come home later on, then you make Havdalah. Everything has its say there. Even though it would seem convenient to make Havdalah early, and maybe there are poskim that do say you should make Havdalah once already, there's going to be such a delay, make Havdalah right away. It's not the common consensus of the poskim. Havdalah Zman is after Ma'ariv. That's when it should be made. And in fact, there's something very unique about this year Purim. And so I'll end up with this. Is that is like, and this goes back to Tisha. Once it's made an impression on me. Some of you, not everyone goes for this idea, but made an impression on me. Tisha B'Av. When Tisha B'Av is Chal on Mitzvah Shabbos. So when do you make Havdalah?
Sunday.
You make Havdalah Mitzvah Tisha of Sunday. So what does that mean? It basically means until you make Havdalah, Shabbos is not really over. I mean, Shabbos, you can do Malacha, you say Baruch HaMavdil, but there is a degree of Shabbos that lingers until you make that Havdalah ala kos. That means a year, when Tisha B'Av is a Mitzvah Shabbos, it's a Shabbos Dika, I don't make up this word, Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av has a flavor of Shabbos. You bring the Kedusha of Shabbos into Tisha B'Av, which changes the dynamics. What does that mean? That's a topic of discussion in and of itself. But the same thing is true for this year. When you do not make Havdalah al HaKois with the Bracha until after you daven Ma'ariv and lay in the Megillah, you know what that means? You have lain the Megillah with Kiddusha Shabbos. That changes the dynamics. No, the whole meaning of the Megillah is V'noyach me'oyveihem. The whole celebration of the Megillah is rest. That's how it's described. V'noyach me'oyveihem. They rested. They fought on day 13 and day 14. They rested. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is Vayonach Vayom Hashvi. It's the same word. Vayonach Vayom Hashvi. When you don't make Havdalah until after you lay in the Megillah, you know what you have done? You've added a new dimension of Kedusha Shabbos into the reading of the Megillah. It's very, very unique and something to be thought about. What exactly that means. So therefore, that is the idea. That is what appears to be the ideal thing to do. Now there is one very interesting halacha, which is a big topic of discussion. What about making the bracha boirei me'oirei ha'esh? You're not allowed to derive benefit from light until you make the bracha boirei me'oirei ha'esh. On a regular mitzvah Shabbos, we don't make the bracha. Hakidav ma'ariv. Hakidav ma'ariv. You're using the lights. So the answer is, if the lights would go out, you would be able to say the Shemona Esrei by heart. Most people, then the amount of hana you're deriving from the lights when you're davening ma'ariv is minimal, so therefore we'll hold off the boirei me'oirei ha'esh until you make Havdalah. But the Megillah, no one's laying the Megillah in the dark. Okay? So no one's laying the Megillah, so you're deeming Nene from R before you made the bracha Borei Me'ori Ha'esh. So many poskim suggest, advise, which we don't do, that you should make the bracha Borei Me'ori Ha'esh first, before you lay in the Megillah. So now when you're deriving benefit from the electricity, the lights, you made the bracha. You're not being nene before you make a bracha. And then when davening is over, then you make the bracha, the besamim and the bracha. Halacha l'maisa, we don't do that. Halacha l'maisa, that's not what we do. They make Havdalah, so there's the shul, the Olam. So they make the Havdalah after the Megillah is over. So
No, he said before the Megillah.
Before the Megillah? No, that's not correct. No, it's made after. What?
You daven Ma'ariv before you leave.
So there are a lot of shuls do different things. Traditionally, in the olden days, they daven Ma'ariv b'zman. Today it's very common where there's a delay. They're not going to daven Ma'ariv until there's a long delay. Shabbos is over, you come to shul, you daven Ma'ariv, and then after you daven Ma'ariv, then you lay in the Megillah, and after you lay in the Megillah, then you make Aleinu, and then you make Havdalah. How many times, when do you say Kaddish? Kaddish is always very confusing. Kaddish Tiskabel. It's not like a regular Mitzvah Shabbos. In a regular Mitzvah Shabbos, when you finish the Shemoneh Esrei, you say Chatzi Kaddish. And then you say V'hinoi on the Atah Kaddish. Mitzvah Shabbos, this is Mitzvah Shabbos. You say immediately after you finish Shemoneh Esrei, Kaddish Tiskabel. The full Kaddish is said immediately. And then you lay in the Megillah. And then after the Megillah, you first say V'hinoyam V'yata Kadosh, and then you say Kaddish again. And it's tricky when you say Kaddish again, you omit the Tiskabel. That line Tiskabel is omitted. So you're going to say basically a Kaddish Shalim twice: once after Shemona Esrei, complete, and then after the Megillah, and then you say Kaddish Shalim without, which is basically the same as a Kaddish Yosam. When you don't say Tiskabel, it's a Kaddish Yosam, which the drush is Ein Achnami. You're saying Kaddish for what? For the Beis HaMikdash. This is a Kaddish, twice a year you do this. On Tisha B'Av, you do this, and you do this on Purim. What do they have in common? Both Avelus for the Beis HaMikdash. Tisha B'Av is obvious, and on Purim is a miracle that took place without a Beis HaMikdash, and that demands of us to remind ourselves of the Beis HaMikdash, so we say Kaddish for the Beis HaMikdash. A Kaddish Sholem, a public Kaddish Sholem without a Tiskabel, is a Kaddish Yosem. For who? For the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we'll do more.